God keeps just really emphasizing to me concerning prayer. You know, the disciples, when they came to Jesus one time, they didn't want to know how to teach, how to preach. They wanted to know how to pray. And they realized the importance of prayer, and they realized that Jesus was getting his prayers answered. They did not see the religious folks getting their prayers answered, but they saw Jesus getting his prayers answered. And so they realized that whatever he's saying, however he's praying, he's getting his prayers answered, and God is moving. So they came to him and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And then one of the most incredible things was that the first thing he did was to teach them how to pray for their own personal needs. And because he knew that if their personal needs were not met, that they were not going to be focused on then praying for others and praying for the world and praying for our nation, because they would be in discouragement. They wouldn't know how that they're going to get through tomorrow. So Jesus emphasized, this is how you pray. And of course, we know that in Matthew, the 6th chapter. So as we go through this teaching on prayer, we want to show you, and I want to show you, listen, I've been walking with the Lord right now at 50 years, and I want you to understand that I have had a lot of time in prayer. I have had to pray for so many things in my life, and I have watched God come through and answer my prayers. And I want to teach you how you're going to get your prayers answered. There are some keys and there are some principles that you and I have to abide by to see to it that every time we pray, we're going to get our prayers answered. Now, it doesn't mean that your answer comes immediately, sometimes not overnight, even though God can do that, and I've had prayers answered like that, and many of you have. But I want to show you how to pray specifically, because a lot of people pray in generalities. When the Bible tells us we must pray specifically concerning our requests, and as we understand these key principles, then as we pray, you're going to see you're going to see your prayers answered, but you're going to see how to stand between the time that you pray and believe your desire, and you believe and you pray, and before the manifestation of the answer comes. Okay? So what I want you to understand is this, is that when the disciples said, teach us to pray, their life was walking with Jesus and obedient to Jesus and obedient to his will. Now, Jesus took this time to teach them. Just like in all of this that is going on, God is now speaking to his church. God is preparing us for, I believe, a third great awakening. God is preparing us for a great harvest. And if we will hear what he's saying, because the Bible says many, many times, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Right now, in the church, God is getting our attention. And I believe that there is a cleansing going on. Why is there a cleansing going on? Because I think many of us and many in church have gotten so comfortable with what we have, and we've gotten sometimes kind of spiritual laziness on the inside of us. We don't pray like we should be praying. We're not reading the word like we should be reading. We're not walking in love like we should be walking. We're not pursuing God and drawing near to him like we should be pursuing and drawing near to him. No, God is getting our attention right now. And you know what's happening? Much of a prayerless church in America is now praying. People are standing on their porches and praying. People in their private times praying. People learning how to pray, knowing what to pray. People crying out and seeking God all over the world like never before. But let me just say this. God is going to deliver us because he is hearing our prayers. But here's what I need for you to understand. During this time, let God examine you. Let God turn the light on. Let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, examine us to see where we are in our lives. Because remember, there is nothing in secret. There is nothing that can be hidden from God. And while there is this massive shaking going on in the world, you and I need to understand that that shaking has an effect upon the church. But guess what? The Bible says in 1 Peter that God actually begins with the church. He begins, the Bible says, Peter says, judgment begins in the house of God. That is not a condemning judgment in any way, shape, or form. It is a loving discipline. It is a loving conviction. It is from a God who loves us, because God loves us enough to tell us the truth. Some people will not tell you the truth. Some people won't even stand in the pulpit and tell you the truth, because they're more interested in numbers and popularity and reputation than they are developing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 25 through 29. And I want to read this out of the Message Bible. Did I hear you yell? I don't think so. Come on. Yeah, there we go. Now, listen to what he says in the Message Bible. So don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? In other words, the Spirit of God, Jesus himself, were warning the churches in Revelations 2 and Revelations 3. He was bringing warnings to them. And so today, I believe that God is speaking to us. Here's what he says. He says, his voice that time shook the earth to its foundations. He's talking about when God was addressing the children of Israel at Mount Zion. He said, his voice at that time shook the earth with its foundations. This time, he told us this quite plainly, he will also rock the heavens. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk. I mean, God had to do with that in me, because I was raised up in a religious church, and there was a lot of things that he had to remove out of my thinking that men had said and men had taught me, but it was not the Word of God. So I had to get in the Word of God. And the Bible says, being washed by the water of the Word, I had to have a cleansing from the water of the Word and let wash away all of this religious tradition. Remember what Jesus said? He said, your traditions have made the Word of none effect. He said, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Verse 28, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful that we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. I'm telling you, one thing is coming back to the church of Jesus Christ, which God has never left it, but sometimes we leave the very things of God. And that is holiness and righteousness and truth and purity and integrity. He says, for God is not an indifferent bystander. God does not stand alongside us somewhere and he's just indifferent about what we're doing. He said, oh, well, you know, you're under grace, so you can do whatever you want to do. And hey, it's okay. You know, Jesus died and you're cleansed by the blood. And I know, you know, you're going to run out there and sin and all that stuff, but that's okay. God does not stand by as an indifferent bystander. That is not okay. Sin is never okay with God. Not that we go out and intentionally do things, but I'm going to tell you this. Once you dabble in a little bit, it's not a little dabble, do you? Once you dabble in a little bit, you're going to want more and more and more and more until afterwards you become addicted to it or enslaved to it once again. And that's not where we want to be. We want to stay cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. We want to stay in truth and in purity and holiness, because that's what God gave to us. He gave us sanctification, and then it's our responsibility of consecration. So he said he is actively cleaning. Listen to this. He is actively cleaning the house torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it is all cleansed. God himself is fire. He's an all-consuming fire. So understanding and knowing that, when we allow God to deal with our lives and we allow him to get all the debris out, when he refines us as pure gold and all of the impurities float away, then when you come before the Lord and you pray, man, you're going to see your prayers answered so quickly, most of them. You're going to see God move in such a way that you're going, oh my gracious. And I'm going to show you this because I want to teach you how to do this. So we're talking about how to pray. So when we pray or petition God, we must come before him with worship, petition, specific requests, and then thanksgiving. Listen to Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6 and 7 out of the Amplified Bible. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Doesn't mean that worry and anxiety and fear is not going to attack you. We all know it has. We've been experiencing that, okay? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Anxiety and worry comes when we put our faith in fear instead of putting our faith and our trust in God and in his word. Do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything, no matter how big or how small, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, once you've done that and you've done it in faith, the peace of God that passes, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Now, key number one, and I've been teaching this to you, but God wants you to hear it because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay? So, when you pray, before you pray, you must find the promise of God that pertains to the specific circumstance, issue, problem that you are facing. And then, once you find that promise, you must get that promise inside of your heart. Why, Pastor, I need it inside of my heart? Well, number one, it's important that you pray the promise because the Bible says God watches over his word to perform it, okay? And so the other part is this. You're going to have the fight of faith after you pray. After you pray, you're going to have to start believing. So then you're going to be tempted to say other things out of your mouth that are contrary to what you prayed or what somebody else prayed. And so the Bible says that the reason you pray the promises or you find the promises first and you meditate on the promises, because in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you find the promises, you speak the promises out loud because you're going to bring those promises to God before you make your definite or your specific request. And then the other reason that you want to keep the promises in your heart, you want to keep speaking those promises every day after you've prayed, is because the Bible says in Matthew 12, 24, for out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. And you want to speak life. You want to speak the promises of God. And you do not want to get into doubt and unbelief, because the enemy is going to hit you with doubt. The enemy is going to hit you with unbelief. He's going to hit you with all kinds of things. But you've got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you have got to not only defend yourself, but you've got to go on the offensive with that. So it's important what you're saying, why you are believing and waiting to receive what you are prayed for. Now, let me talk to you about your personal prayer, just like when Jesus taught them to pray personally. The word of God, which is his promises, is your basis for receiving an answer to your requests. And by the way, there are certain things that we should be praying for on a daily basis for our daily needs. There's a lot of times people don't pray daily. They only wait till they get into a crisis to pray. If you hadn't been praying daily concerning the word of God and your daily needs, then when you get into a crisis, it's going to be hard for you to believe. I'm just telling you fact right now, okay? It's going to be really hard for you to stand, and when you've done all to stand, to keep on standing. Amen? So you need to be praying the things of God over you on a daily basis. Have that in your heart. Just like Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 11, when Jesus was teaching them to pray, he said this. He said, pray this, ask God for your daily bread. Not your weekly, not your monthly, not your quarterly, not your biannually or annually. He said, ask God for daily bread. In other words, he's saying, every day you need to trust God and you need to ask him to meet your daily needs. How about Psalms 91 verse 10 when it says, no evil shall befall you and no plague or calamity shall come nigh your dwelling. See, there are certain things here that we need to pray. How about when it comes to your giving? And he says this, Father, I thank you that you're able, 2 Corinthians 9, chapter verse 8 and 10. God, I thank you that you're able to make all grace abound toward me so that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Are you praying that every day concerning your needs? Or then are you waiting until you have a need and then you start crying and whining and complaining? No, you need to start praying this on a daily basis over your life so that when something does happen, you are ready. You have the word of God. So it says, as is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed, that's God, to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply, Father, your seed that you have sown. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you are multiplying. You're making all grace abound toward us, and you're multiplying our seed. That's on a daily basis. That's the reason, by the way, when you get in trouble, you don't want to eat your seed. You want to keep planting your seed. Because if you eat your seed, you can have a meal. But if you plant your seed, you'll have a harvest. Amen? So he goes on. 1 Peter 2:24 talks about healing. By his stripes, we were healed. Healed. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Praise God. And goes on and on and on that you get into the Word of God. Write your own daily prayers because Jesus had the prayer that he gave the disciples published so people could read that. So you need to publish prayers. You need to pray it for your family. You need to pray it. And men, it's not just for your wives to pray. It's for all of us to pray. It's for the man who's the head of the house. Pray. If the lady's the head of the house, pray. Teach your children how to pray so that when they get older, they will know exactly who to trust. Amen? Praise God. So when it comes to a specific need, you need to be specific. Now listen to me very carefully because this is where so many people miss it. When we were just now talking about the daily needs, that's the general aspect of our life, okay? The Bible says, he said, cast all of your care upon the Lord, but he says, when you come, don't be anxious, worry about anything, but he said, but in everything, by prayer, that's worship. I start worshiping God. I worship God. We taught that. If you didn't hear that one, go back and listen to the podcast. Then he said petition. Petition is the one where you bring the word of God, and then it says with your specific request. So notice you have the worship, you have the petition, which is the word of God. I find the promises, and I'm going to bring those, and then I have a specific request. Dr. Paul Young-Yi Cho in Korea taught me this. And it has it changed my life concerning praying. So when it's a specific request, you don't pray in generalities. When it comes to something that you have to be precise and there is a definite need. In other words, when you have a financial miracle, you don't come to God like this. Oh, God, I've got this financial miracle. I need this financial miracle. Okay? And then God's going to say, what financial miracle? What do you need? Because what I'm going to do, if I'm a giver, I'm going to bring with my specific request, I'm going to bring maybe Philippians 4:19. Father, you said that you would meet all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm a giver, so this is my need. Oh, say, so what is your need? So you can't just say, oh God, I need a financial miracle. He's going to say, what do you need? And how much do you specifically need? Oh, God, heal me. I need healing. From what? Well, he knows. He knows what's going on. I know that. I understand that. And I'm going to show you something in just a minute that's going to make a lot of sense to you. But healing from what? You've got to call it. You've got to name it. You've got to be specific. Oh, God, be with us when we travel, when we fly. No, that's when you say, listen, it's almost, when you pray that, it's almost like you think God's left you. He's not going to be with you on the plane, but you want him on the plane. Okay? He lives inside of you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So in other words, instead of saying, be with us, you say, Lord, I thank you that you're in us. I thank you, Lord, that you said that you'd never leave me nor forsake you. And I thank you, Lord, that the Bible says in Psalms 91 that you'll give your angels charge over me to bear me up in all of my ways, praise God. And you're going, the angels, or I'm asking you, the angels will bear up this airplane and take me to my destination, that it will take off safely and that we will land safely and we'll be safe in the air in Jesus' name. So you specifically pray over that specific event. And I know some people look at me and say, I know God. The Bible says he knows our need before we even ask him. That's true, but you still have to ask him. You still have to ask him. I know a while ago, I could just kind of feel it. People say, oh, well, he knows I'm sick. He knows what I'm going through. Why do I have to specifically ask him that? Well, let me just read something to you. And this is in Mark, the 10th chapter, 51 and 52. This is not on my downloaded notes, even though they could probably type it up there. But anyway, let me just read to you. I'll give it to you right now. Just write this down. Mark, the 10th chapter, 51 and 52. Listen to this. This is when a blind man is crying out. He's sitting with the blind people, and he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops and has the man to come over to him. People led him over there. He's blind. He can't see. They led him over there. So Jesus says to the man in verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? That's Jesus. I mean, you could look at him and say, come on, Lord, you can look at the man, you know he's blind. This is the principle that God has set up himself, and we must abide by it. Don't argue with it. Just start doing it. And the blind man said to him, I mean, he didn't say, come on, Lord, you know what I need. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, which means Lord, that I may receive my sight. What did he do? First, he was worshiping. He was worshiping. He was crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, Jesus did. But then he came and then he gave his specific request. Listen to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 14 and 15. This is so important. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence. See, the devil wants to make you think that God's not going to answer your prayers. He will. You follow the principles. He will. Now, this is the confidence that we have for him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, this has to do with bringing God's promises to him. This is the petition. Lord, I'm coming to pray and I'm petitioning you based upon the covenant that I have through the blood of Jesus and based upon your promise, your word that you made. Remember, I taught you that all the promises of God are yes. Not a one of them are no. All the promises are yes in Jesus Christ. So here, anything we ask according to his will is his word. So I'm bringing now the promises. God, this is your promise. Now, let's go on and see what happens after that. He hears us because it's his word. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, now there's two askings. I'm asking according to the will, which is his promises. And then he says, we know he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. The petitions, the specific requests based upon what his promises said. Based upon what his promises said. So, if I here am asking for healing, and I'm coming and I'm bringing, maybe I bring Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who delivers my life from the pit, or delivers it from destruction, delivers it from death, who crowns me with loving kindness, so that my and fills my mouth with good things, so that my youth, glory to God, I pray this all the time, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, I bring to you right now, this is your word. You're not a man that you should lie. This is the promise you've made, and I have a covenant with you. This is your oath that you would be true and all your promises are yes. I bring this to you, and I say right here, here's your will that you heal all my diseases. Now, what is my petition? Father, if you got cancer, if you got whatever it is, Father, I thank you right now. And I'm asking you to heal me completely and totally from cancer. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that every cancer cell in my body is dead in the name of Jesus Christ. Because remember, Mark 11, 23 and 20, 24, 22 and 23, if you say to the mountain, so there's times you pray and there's times you're speaking and declaring in there also. And so, Father, this is your word. This is your word. This is what you said. That's how I bring his will to him. I don't just cry out and just say, heal me, Lord, okay? I want to bring the specific request, and I want to stand on that. Now, until that takes place, you know, you're going to be fighting the fight of faith, and many of us just has. But now listen, it's so vitally important. When you come and you ask, you must ask in faith. Faith, again, comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason that God wants you to bring his Word to him first and foremost, because once you see the Word, once you speak the Word, once you meditate on the Word, faith comes by hearing. So faith has got to drive this fear that you're in out. So I've got to have the Word of God. So your asking must be in faith. Listen to what the Spirit of God said in James, the first chapter, verse 5 and 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he gives liberally and without reproach. He doesn't make fun at you. He doesn't mock you. And it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. No doubting, with no doubting. It doesn't mean that you don't doubt. It means that you just cannot allow doubt to be your primary focus. Okay? What does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, verse 3 and 5. You are to cast down every vain imagination and every thought, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You've got to take that authority. You can't give doubt and unbelief one inch, or it will become your ruler. You've got to rebuke it immediately. And what do? You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the promise that you're believing for, and you start speaking the promise and tell the devil he's a liar. So he says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts, that means you're controlled by doubts, but he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, if you doubt, you're going to be driven back and forth. Oh, he's going to do it. He's not going to do it. Just like you're doing a four-leaf clover. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. Oh, God, help me. It's going to happen. No, no, no. You've got to be focused. There's no peace in that. The Bible says in Isaiah, if your mind is stayed upon the Lord, stayed upon the Word, there's peace there. So he said, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable all of his ways. Hey, there's been times in my life that I literally have allowed doubt to just kind of stay around for a while. And I've just kind of going back and forth. Well, there's no power there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicted me and saying, do you want to receive what you're believing for? Yeah. He said, then you're going to have to rebuke the doubt, but you need to repent of doubting instead of trusting. And there were times that I said, God, forgive me for giving into this doubt, giving into this mess. Forgive me in the name of Jesus. The moment he forgave me, I started like a machine gun coming out with the word of God, standing and believing. And all of a sudden, the peace of God just enveloped me. Now, when you ask and you're believing, you got the word, what's your specific request? What specific request? Okay, God, we thank you that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need a financial miracle. How much? How much are those tires going to cost? How much is your rent? What have you lost right now that's below what you used to make or budget? What is that? What do you need now to meet your need, to feed your family, to put gas in your car? What do you need? Well, I just need some money. No. What do you need? Give me a specific amount. That's what God's asking for. Lord, we need an extra $100 or $200. Be specific. What do you need? Is it $100 or $200? And don't do something crazy. Well, if I can do that, I'm believe God for $1 million. No, you can't. No, you couldn't believe him for that. No. See, you've got to be specific. God, you said you meet all my needs. Lord, this is what we have in our budget, and this is what we're below in our budget. Tave and I did that the whole time we were in Bible school, that our bills were more than what we were making because we were having to work part-time. But you know what? She's right here. She could tell you. We never saw one month go by that God did not bring that money in. I'm going to tell you right now, if God can feed 2 million people in the desert and in the wilderness, don't you sit there and think that heaven is bankrupt, that heaven is on a budget, that God's arm is too short, that he can't supply your need. No. Don't doubt that. Don't look at your circumstances like the 10 spies and said, we can't have this. We can't do that. No. You have to believe God with all your heart. You've got to have the word of God, and you've got to be specific. Businessman, businesswoman, specifically, what do you have need of right now in your own business? You say, well, my business is closed. All right? If it's closed, are you praying and believing God that this thing is going to go away? That God's going to remove this plague so you can hire your workers back, so you can get back into business, the things that you need to do? Listen, when the devil tries to come and steal what he has already stolen, he's stealing from the work of the kingdom of God. That's what he wants to stop. If you want to know what's behind this, it is to stop the gospel. And if you don't believe that, go to Psalms, the second chapter, and read about the conspiracy and who it is against. It's all spiritual, folks, even though it's manifesting in the natural. But what's behind it is the kingdom of darkness. So you have to pray specifically concerning the needs that you have. And once you have asked for a specific thing, you don't keep asking for that specific thing. You ask for your daily bread, but the very definite, precise, specific thing that you ask for, you don't keep asking for that every single day. What do? Go back to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and that's where he says, in everything, through prayer, worship, petition, the word of God, specific requests, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So after I have specifically requested every single day, Father, I thank you for my $100 to meet my budget. I thank you for it, Father. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I thank you for it, and I praise you for it right now. Father, I receive my healing. I receive it. See, so many people are saying, I'm believing when the Bible, and this is the hardest thing for the body of Christ to do, when the Bible says, by his stripes, I am healed. That I do say, I am healed. I receive my healing now. in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, and then every day, every night, all through the day, I thank you that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that I am prosperous. I thank you that every need is met. I thank you, whatever the specific request is, I thank you for that, Father. I praise you. You don't go back. You don't go back. If you keep going back for the same thing, you never prayed in faith to start with. So now, Thanksgiving prayer. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. And then you thank him for what you pray for. I thank you that I am healed. I thank you that cancer cannot live in my body. I thank you that I'm healed from the virus in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I thank you right now, Father. I give you praise and honor and glory for the specific request that you made. And then you do that until you see the manifestation and you don't stop it. And every time doubt and unbelief tries to attack you and the enemy tries to attack the character of God or the love of God or the faithfulness of God, you just raise your hands and say, just stay right there just for a minute, devil. I thank you, Father. I praise you. I worship you. I thank you that you are meeting my need. I thank you that this is already done. I thank you, Father God, that you supply my need. I thank you that I receive my healing. It is mine in the name of Jesus. You just put on a praise party real quick. He won't stay around. Okay? So, after you've prayed in the name of Jesus, you come now with thanksgiving. Listen to Psalms 91, 2 and 3. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout for joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is great and great is the King. So what I do is I take Psalms 91. I said, Lord, I just come before your presence right now with thanksgiving. I shout joyfully for your word. I shout joyfully that my need is met because you are a great God. You are the great King and you are above all the situations that I face. The Bible says in Psalms 107, 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Sometimes when you hurt, sometimes in your pain, it takes a sacrifice to praise God. And it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You can have pain in your body. Man, we got some warriors that are going through some things, but you can even have pain in your body, and you can say, Father, I thank you. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that this stuff is dead. I thank you, Lord, that my kidneys are operating properly. I thank you, Lord God, for my heart. I thank you for healing my heart. I thank you, whatever it is, Father, I thank you for that $200 every single month, or $100 that we need in our budget, Father God. I thank you, Lord. Here's my budget for my business, and I thank you, Lord, that you're meeting every need. And you know, if you put your employees on furlough, still pray for them, because we will be coming back. Praise God. We will. The worst words the devil can hear is, I'm back. Praise God. It says in Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer and worship, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So, that's what you do when you pray, not only for you, but you pray for others in their own personal needs. And here's a key. Listen to this so carefully. Here's what the Bible says in praying for one another and praying for ourselves. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, that you may be healed. Notice that if I'm operating in, is there any sin in my life? The rest of this is not going to work until I repent of sin. He says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Listen to Psalms 32. It says this, verse 5. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. Because you can't hide anything from God. He knows everything. You can't hide anything. And you can't come before him and pray like I taught you to pray if you're regarding iniquity in your heart. If there are hidden sins there, those prayers are not going to be answered. And you're going to allow the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. So I need my prayers answered. I don't know about you. I need my prayers answered. So I guard my heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of heart. He said, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and watch this, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. Glory to God. That's my God. That's your God. Quit hiding stuff. Quit holding things on the inside. Man, eventually it's going to catch up with you. It's going to hurt. You need to get it out. You need to confess it. You need to repent before God. If you have not been living for God, you need to repent before God, and you need to get back into the path of righteousness and holiness for His name's sake and for your sake. He said, all my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. See, the Bible says in Psalm 66, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. Have you got unforgiveness in your heart? Have you got prejudice in your heart? Have you got racism in your heart? Have you been gossiping? Think about this. Have you got bitterness? Unforgiveness? You know, we say, oh, I thought you were going to talk about sexual sin. Well, have you got that in your heart? Have you got other things in your heart? Remember what Jesus described adultery? If you look at another woman and with your own eyes you undress her, and or you look at something on television, or you look at something concerning on your telephone, no matter where you look at it, God is right there with you. God sees everything. He knows it's there. Well, the Bible says if you lust after another woman and stuff like that, you're committing adultery. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating what He said. And folks, we're coming in a day and a time. I told you this in January. I started preaching this in January. I told you that we were going to enter into tough times, difficult times. I told you that. That was in my teaching. That's the reason God told me to teach on anxiety, worry, and fear. And because He knew what was coming, He was preparing us for what was coming. He wanted us to build our house on a rock. But you got to keep building. You can't stop. You can't stop. You got to keep building and keep believing. But here's the thing. You cannot regard iniquity. He said, if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. Why did He listen? Because He will listen to repentance. He will listen to the confession. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw His unfailing love from me. That's the key. Listen, I got to ask you right now, because this is a time you need your prayers answered. What's in your heart? Holy Spirit, put a light on inside of every one of us. If you don't think that I haven't been doing this as a pastor, believe me, I have. I have been on my face with God saying, if there's anything in my heart, anything that I have done, anything in my life that is out of your will, God, show it to me, and I will confess it, and I will repent of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that you and I have to do. You know, on a daily basis, I don't wait till communion to examine myself. On a daily basis, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, examine my heart. See whether or not I'm in faith, whether I'm walking in your love, whether I'm doing what things that you say in the Word of God to do. And that's the reason in this day and time that you've got to be in the Word of God. I mean, that's the reason up on our website we've got the daily Bible reading. It takes you through the Bible. You've got to invest time to do this. But right now, I'm asking you this. What's in your heart? If you have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, here's what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you will be saved. If you say, Jesus Christ, I believe, say that with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Lord. I believe that You're the Son of God. And I ask you right now save me and cleanse me from all my sin. And if you did that, he has just done that. And you're born again. And if you are a born again believer and you've got sin hidden in your heart, listen, the devil will use that to eventually destroy you. If you got a family, destroy your family, destroy everything. Is that where you want to go? Or do you want to walk with God? Or are you sitting there and going, well, you know, the road's a little bit too narrow for me to walk with God. Do you know what's outside of that narrow road? Killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what's out there. That's what you want. The enemy will let you go for a while, and then he's going to pull the rug out from under you. He's going to cover up the pit, and you're going to fall, and you're going to hit the stakes. So here's what you need to do. If there's sin in your life, sin in your heart, you need to ask him to forgive you. This is not a game. This is not something that's like video that you get nine lives. This is real. This is life. If you know Jesus, but you're hiding sin in your heart, pray this with me. Father God, I ask you right now, forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin to you right now. And I repent of it in the name of Jesus. And I deny the power of darkness access into my life. I repent, Father. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse me from all sin in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you prayed that, wow, the peace of God right now. And now, guess what? Now go back and pray. Now start praying. And pray exactly the way I taught you to pray. Can you say amen? Come on, can you say amen? Yes. You know why I tell you the truth? I tell you the truth because I love you, but God loves you. And I'm just telling you his truth. You know, sometimes in church we want to have Christmas every morning, every Sunday. No, sometimes we need to have the Father sitting around the table and talking to us. Not only teaching us, but talking to us about our lives. And that's what I, because I want to see you be an incredible disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to receive our offering right now. Can you say amen? We're going to receive our offering. So listen. Let me read this to you because this is so vitally important. Because we're like in a famine right now, but listen to this. There's famines that took place all through the Bible. Remember the Bible says we're the seed of Abraham? What did Isaac do in the middle of famine? Listen to this. In Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 1, it says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said to Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. In other words, don't look for other sources, even though there's nothing wrong right now to receive whatever source that you can get. But here's what he said. I don't want you to rely on Egypt, which is like the world. He said, I want you to trust me. So he said, do not go down to Egypt and live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all of these lands, and I will perform, listen to this, I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And what was that? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I will bless you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Everything you put your hand to, I'm going to bless you. But listen to what Isaac did. So in other words, God said, you're going to stay here in the famine, and I'm going to take care of you. How did that happen? Isaac had a responsibility. Listen to in verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land when? In famine. You don't sow seed in famine. Yes, you do if God tells you to do it. If you have a promise of God, you sow seed. He said, then Isaac sowed in that land, and watch this, and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. This is in the middle of a famine and drought. Isaac could have eaten his seed. He would only had maybe one or two meals, but he chose to obey God and sow it. And as you sow and continue to sow into the work of God, continue to do your tithes and your offerings, when Tava and I were walking in this morning, This little lady came and she said, "Pastor, I've got to get my tithe in. I've got to get my tithe in." So we did social distancing, but she said, "I got to get my tithe in." And she gave her tithe. And I prayed over that. And I want to encourage you, don't allow the devil or fear to stop you from sowing. Because if you keep sowing, the Bible says he kept sowing. The Lord blessed him. The man became prosperous and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's amazing. That's in the middle of famine. God can do supernatural in the natural realm. God can do the impossible and make the impossible possible. Man's extremities become God's opportunities. So just like the little widow, don't stop sowing, continue to give. You can do it right there on the screen. You can do it on our website. You can mail it in. There's a place where you can text. Many people do it by text, by phone, and you can do that. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. And I pray over every offering, every tithe that is given right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that those that are giving their tithe, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon them. There's not even room enough to receive it. Father, rebuke the devourer for their sakes. And Lord, I thank you that you will make a distinction between those, Lord, who sow into your kingdom, who continue to give. And Father, I pray that today that as we give tithes and we give offerings, that Lord God, Father, that you will make all grace abound toward us at all times and all things. We have all sufficiency to be able to give to every good work. And thank you, Lord, for multiplying the seed that we sow. And Lord, for those that have even lost their jobs, Father, those that think I don't have anything to sow, you promised to give seed to the sower. I thank you, Lord, for providing seed for them to sow. Bless us and take care of us in the middle of this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.